This is the Living Fearless Today podcast, a show that helps men like you and me who are struggling to get unstuck and overcome fear to live confidently and courageously. I'm your host and transformation coach, Mike Forrester, helping you create the change you want now. Join me as I interview men who've conquered their challenges and soared to success as they spill their secrets on how they live fearless today. Well, hello and welcome back, my friend. Man, today I am totally excited to have Luke Dupron join me from FitMen Project. And Luke is one of those that's able to give you a different perspective than maybe you've heard from other people, right? It's all the muscles and we just, you know, get fit through focusing on the muscles. There's nothing else that's even involved in it. Luke looks at it and helps us to see that both our external and our internal, you know, kind of image of who we are and how we show up are connected. And I don't know about you, man, but you know, if I'm working on the biceps, I want to see like my internal biceps, right? My confidence maybe come out and show up. And it's one of those that I think we get so focused on the external, we forget about who we are at the core and how it can impact how we appear in life. So totally stoked to get into the conversation with Luke to dispel, you know, myths we may believe and to just really encourage and uplift how we show up, how we feel about it, and being able to reap new rewards that we didn't think were possible for us. So Luke, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm great. I was rubbing in and say it's another sunny day in San Diego, so I got no complaints, man.
Yes, sunny days are amazing, man. It's like, you know, you get the opportunity to go to work and then go to the beach or go to the mountains. I mean, there's so much that's there, you know, and I think being in San Diego is one of those things, Luke, is reflective of, you know, like life and the choices we make, because I know so many people, I lived there for many years, and even moving away. And then when I go back, it's crazy because, you know, there's friends and family that live there and they go, yeah, I want to get to the beach, but I don't ever get there.
Sure.
I don't know about you, man, but is that something like you see as well, where it's like, hey man, you're sitting right on the doorstep and people aren't taking action on going and doing what they enjoy. They just kind of get stuck in a rut.
Sure. I think it's complacency is easy, right? Myself included can fall into that trap, but in regards to the beach, I will be going this weekend. So, you know, I'll make sure of that. But, I think it is very easy to, kind of find yourself in the lane that you've been in, the rut, if you want to call it that, of life, the season that you're in, and complacency is a real thing. And yeah, you got to be tactical and I think intentional about stepping out, stretching that comfort zone. And whether it's like something as familiar as like, hey, go do the fun beach thing that's right there, or go try, you know, new fun things.
When guys go do that, right? When they go do something different that's outside of their comfort zone, how do you see it impact them in, you know, their day to day or what they do, you know, as far as their goals or their habits? Does it impact them at all?
I think the biggest thing is I think there's a massive amount of confidence that is developed from simply trying new things. For a lot of guys, I think there's a lot of fear around, anything, public speaking. Again, I know you mentioned doing a 5K, but like if you literally just accept that there is growth in that discomfort and start to lean into like, hey, this is a little, you know, the hairs are standing up. I'm a little bit scared, a little bit uncomfortable. I think that's an awesome indicator of like where to lean in and like where to go. And I think it'll uncover all sorts of potential possibilities of like new fun things. And I mean, that's your life, right? Like all of these experiences that you've had, it's like you tried it for the first time sometime. So who knows what other, you know, things that you can go out and explore.
Yeah. It's often just like what you, I think what we imagine in our head is sometimes the stuff that holds us back, when it's like, dude, I did go, you know, body surfing, you know what I mean? Or yeah, Tried surfing. And it's that uncomfortable stuff. You're not assured, you know, assured of how to do it, but you take that chance, man. It's just, it can be the biggest thrill that was just sitting dormant and you had no idea. You're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to like have the board hit me in the head and all these bad things are going to happen, when it's like, oh my gosh, I had a ride. Have you seen that kind of stuff like with your clients in their processes?
Yeah. So, you know, obviously when guys come to work with me specifically, we are, you know, tackling health and fitness goals. But there is absolutely a stretching in the sense of most of the guys I work with, they tend to be in the struggle season of that. They maybe don't have even a fitness program. So the idea of maybe going to the gym itself can be intimidating. Feeling like they'd have the time to even focus on their nutrition can feel intimidating. The whole process often can feel so consumptive that they don't want to step in. It feels like this overwhelming, like I have to completely revamp my life. Quote, we've heard it's a lifestyle, but nobody really explains what that means. And so it really does feel often like this overwhelming, massive undertaking. I'm about to go climb Mount Everest and work out every day for the rest of my life. And it's really helping guys kind of shift both the physiological approach and obviously like their psychology around that and understanding it doesn't have to be that. They can integrate differently.
Well, and I think that's one of those things, man. How many of us are kind of bought into that idea, Luke, where it's like, I have to do this monumental undertaking.
Totally.
Right? So instead of looking at, hey, I want to gain 10 pounds or I want to lose 10 pounds, you know, it's one of those, I have to do 100 pounds. You know what I'm saying? Like it's this larger than life goal. And instead of just going, hey, I'm going to go twice a week to the gym, it's I'm going to go 2 hours every day, 7 days a week, which you don't have that kind of gap in your schedule, right?
You don't have the bandwidth. And I can't, Mike, I cannot tell you how many guys, when I first chat with them, have that experience. So every person I work with, they go through a pretty lengthy intake form. And I ask, like, how many days can you realistically dedicate to 45 minutes of exercise? Can't tell you how many guys have put 7. And the reality is, if that was true, you probably wouldn't be on a call with me to maybe help rectify and get you back in a state of health. There is this massive, massive gap in understanding on what's actually required and what guys think they have to do. And it oftentimes is what's stopping so many guys from jumping in and taking action, because you realistically don't need to work out 7 days per week. We need to be active most days, but we don't need to actually exercise. Majority of my clients don't go to a gym. We set up a home gym. So the biggest mistake I see guys make is they're trying to rectify a challenge in their life, their health and their fitness, by making it more challenging. They think that there's going to be some massive growth if they go do this really hard program and they're going to come out the other side transformed. I'm going to sign up and do a marathon. Oftentimes you're going to be a guy who 5 years later is telling people about the marathon you did one time. And if we're truly going to make lifelong changes where our health and our fitness and our wellness is at the forefront, we have to figure out a way, how do we remove barriers to entry? How do we make this feel easier to do? And that's kind of at odds with what most guys are going to come across when they're trying to rectify the situation. You hop on Instagram, you're going to see the craziest workouts that rise to the top, right? Like people are creating content to go viral. You're going to see the most nonsensical diets rise to the top because it's, you know, flashy to say like, I'm only eating just steak or I'm only eating raw. And the extremes really do rise to the top, but it's not where most success is going to lie for guys. So ultimately, if we can scale things back, make it more accessible, it's probably going to give you better physiological outcomes anyway. But for sure, we're going to create a whole different internal environment where we're going to start to actually see some internal success. We're going to start to build some confidence through competence by actually hitting these targeted objectives of, like you said, hey, I'm going to work out twice per week. It is so much more impactful and empowering that if you set a goal of I'm going to work out twice per week and you did that for 3 months, then this idea that you're going to work out every day and then constantly restarting that goal over and over.
So is it rather than having like that monumental goal or task that's intimidating, is it just showing up with something that's realistic and a little bit of out of our comfort zone? Is that where we're going to get the better results?
Yeah. So say using like that 100 pound mark, when someone has 100 pounds to lose, like that's a significant amount of weight. The reason it's going to be so important to take these like really realistic kind of objectives and like, yes, we want to stretch and push ourselves and we do set stretch goals, but we set also what's called guaranteed minimum standards. And I'll touch on this here in a second. But you have to understand that if you're a guy who's 100 pounds overweight and you lose 30 pounds, which is an incredible amount of weight to lose, you're still going to look in the mirror and be like, wow, I'm still pretty overweight. And objectively, you probably are. So if to lose that 25 or 30 pounds, you took an approach that you thought, oh my God, that was the worst diet. I can't believe I did all of that exercise. I've worked with somebody before who they're like, I can't believe I only lost 6 pounds in 2 weeks. And I'm like, that's an incredible amount of weight to lose. There's such a misunderstanding on like how fast things can go. And so if the intensity that you put into this doesn't match the result, you're going to get dissuaded from continuing. And when the task does feel so big, like again, 100 pounds, and you just worked your butt off and you've lost 30 pounds, which is again, an incredible amount of weight, but you look in the mirror and you still see the fat overweight guy, you're going to be like, it's not worth it. Versus anytime I'm on a coaching call with a client, I ask them this, is anything we're doing feeling hard or heavy? And when I say hard, I remove one thing. I want your workouts to feel hard. They're going to be physically feeling hard when you're doing them. But more collectively, does it feel hard or emotionally heavy, this task that we're doing? And the answer has to be no. And guys are like, no, it's actually feeling pretty manageable and easy. And it's like, what a different experience for guys to step into. It's like, sweet. So you just lost 30 pounds and you did it in a way that, did you say it felt kind of easy? Again, they're working really hard when they do the workout, but from like a lifestyle management and how we integrate basically our nutrition, our exercise, our lifestyle, our mindset, all of those things, it's got to come more from a place of ease. There are seasons in life where it makes sense that like, I'm going to go really push things, but you tune up the Jeep to take it off road. You don't go take it off road to tune it up. And so if you really think about setting some foundational pieces in your health and fitness, getting yourself in a higher level of health and fitness, it opens up a plethora of like opportunity of what you can go do. You want to go hike, you want to do orienteering, if you want to do jujitsu, which I like to do, like you can find all of these things, but you don't have to start there. You got to start with some baseline stuff.
Yeah. It sounds like rather than just looking at, hey, I'm constrained to going and working out at the gym, there's a lot of other options. And so as I come to you, it'd be like, hey, Mike, what are you interested in? And so they can align. Is that right?
Totally. The piece that we do integrate with pretty much every is we're going to bring a strength training program into the lifestyle. There's just too much value to shy away from that. Again, we can strip it down. We can make it more basic. We can make it simpler to do. Like I mentioned, a lot of my clients are going to use home gyms, office gyms. We're going to remove that 20-minute drive to and from the gym and that 40 minutes of travel time. We could have already got it done. After that, when we talk low-level movement, we use step count often as a lever point. Specifically, if we're talking weight loss, that's going to be a really, really useful tool. But we don't need to jump in the deep end there either. So if it's somebody who it's like, let's audit where you're at. Okay, you're taking 2,000 steps on average. Do you need to go to 15,000 or 20,000? Absolutely not. Maybe we can bring you up to 6,000, still see an effective rate of change where doing more probably isn't going to move the needle any faster. And we want to stop there. And then, yeah, can we do it in a way that you enjoy it? Is that like going out and shooting hoops with your kid versus, all right, dad's got to go get on the treadmill to get his steps in. And it's like, maybe it's walking the dog. Maybe it's going for a bike ride. How can we integrate some physical activity in a way that you actually enjoy to turn this into, quote, a lifestyle?
And the way you said that with, I've got to go, you know, do this. Does that kind of a mindset, does that get in the way of the success that we're after? I mean, does it create like unnecessary hurdles or make it harder to get to our goal just because we're, you know, looking at it wrong? Is mindset like kind of that secret key to finding the success?
Sure. And so when I think of mindset, and I kind of have like a specific protocol I take guys through on this, where a lot of guys are going to have a challenge. If say you're somebody who has been overweight for It could be all of your life. This has been a life. There's guys, this has been a lifelong challenge. That identity is in there, right? Like that guy's probably said things like, you know, I've always been an overweight guy, or I'm an all in, all or all out kind of guy. And we have created these identities and these self schemas, and we're going to have to break free of them and tactically create some new ones. And we don't just do it through journaling or just like hoping that like, hey, I'm going to be this different guy. We can get really strategic in how we create this version of ourselves. And so, in the Fitment Project, I kind of take people through this process where the first is like, well, let's identify like, what is your big why? Like, what's the real reason that you want to do this? And I know me and you, Mike, spoke, and legacy was something that you spoke about earlier. And I was like, that's such a great word because, you know, hey, the doctor said I need to lose 20 pounds. It's probably not going to get you anywhere. But I love when I get to work with dads and it's like, I'll throw this question at them. And especially if they have a young daughter, it's like, this is a golden opportunity because the question is, are you or another guy going to walk your daughter down the aisle on her wedding day? And it's like, is everything that you're doing ensuring that the answer is actually you? And like, if we can create and step into something bigger than ourselves, how we show up as a dad, are you the dad that like plays catch with your kid or do you bark orders from the lawn chair? How do you get to show up as a husband or as a spouse to where when your partner or your wife wants to go for a walk, are you actually too tired? Or are you actually too busy or can you go do it? And so tapping into something bigger than yourself can be an incredibly powerful motivator in the short term. And we want to leverage that as many times as we can. But from there, we're going to intentionally create our new identity. And so typically, we just attach fit to whatever they have. Hey, let's be the fit dad. Let's be the fit entrepreneur. And we need to start making decisions through that identity and through that lens. And we do that with a lot of intention around specific hard lines. So as an example, I was recently working with a client and I'm like, hey, we're going to intentionally set some hard lines that are kind of on the fringes of either where you would maybe have a stumbling block, like, hey, when I travel for work, or I go to happy hour and I drink too much. So we want to put these hard lines kind of on the fringes of those. And so for like him, one of his hard lines became, I don't eat kids food. I, the fit dad, don't eat kids food. I, the fit dad, who's showing my daughter, who is ensuring that I'm going to be there for my daughter on her wedding day, doesn't eat kid food. And that was a really easy way to put a hard line, back it up with the identity, drive it through the motivation, to stop a behavior that for this guy was a place where he just had a level of overconsumption that was kind of mindless because it's like, oh, I'm going to grab some Goldfish crackers or I'm going to clean the plate from the kid. And boom, we just remove that. We've done that through with alcohol with guys, setting hard lines on like where, the number of drinks, what we drink, how we drink. And that can be a really, really powerful way to intentionally improve your confidence through proving competence. Not just saying like, I'm hoping I'm going to change. Like, no, you're proving it to yourself. You reflect on it at the end of the week. Like, yeah, I said I was going to do 3 workouts. I got 3 workouts done. And we emotionally have to celebrate that. So many guys struggle with that, Mike. They struggle to celebrate a win positively. It sounds like this. And I imagine somebody listening to this will make sense. Well, I did celebrate your 3 win, your 3 workouts. Well, I did 3 workouts, but you know, I could have done 4. And it's like, get out of here with the coulda. I'm like, dude, you are a freaking stud. You are a freaking stud for nailing those 3 workouts that you said you were going to do. And now you're becoming a congruent man who does what he said he was going to do. And over the process of going through this, and again, executing on this idea of minimum standards where it kind of feels tangible and easy, you come out the other side and you're like, hey, I am fit Mike and I do make these decisions, and all of a sudden decision fatigue isn't there and it gets to be an easy way to kind of navigate life.
As you're talking about this, I'm almost seeing like, you know, when you go bowling and they put the bumpers up on the side.
Yeah, exactly.
You're ensuring, it's not like you're saying, hey, Mike, this is going to be perfect, but you're saying we're going to keep things going towards the goal.
Yep.
We just have these guardrails, these bumpers to keep you on track.
Totally.
And that's where I'm like, dude, knowing that I have permission not to be perfect, I think puts me in a much better place. And I know it does for other men as well, where it's like, hey, I don't have to worry about a misstep. It doesn't mean the end of the world.
Yep. That's a huge one that guys have to recognize in particularly the health and fitness space. So right now, everybody has probably heard of 75 hard. Mm-hmm. you know, it's two workouts a day for 75 days, the same diet for 75 days, and your picture and your water. And there's many guys that have incredible, incredible experiences and transformations from it. But I've also met many guys who I'm like, cool, you're on the seventh round of it and you're still a type 2 diabetic. Like, do you want to solve the actual problem? Locking up and doing something for 75 days or 50 days means far less than figuring out, how do I navigate this as a true lifestyle for the next 1 year, 2 years, 3 years? And with that, there is going to be seasons of life. There is going to be variability. There's going to be work travel. There's going to be vacations. And something I always do convey to guys when I'm working with them, oftentimes they're going to, you know, bestow on me, you're an athlete, a fitness guy, and yeah, I'll own that identity. I've built into that, sure. But what they don't understand, and I have to let them know, I'm like, I'll eat all the cookies. Like, how many cookies do you want? Well, how many do you have? And recognizing that, like, I have that same struggle. I'm going to miss workouts. The difference is I've been in this game long enough that I can stretch it out and understand the consequences of one missed workout or one bad meal. Whereas most guys, when they're just starting out, they've created this massive consequence to negative actions, but they don't ever, ever give the same weight to a positive action. And you never eat a salad and think, wow, what a transformative health experience I just had. Yet you'll eat one too many cookies and you'll berate yourself and think you blew your results. And we have to step back and realize your health, your physique, your energy, your fitness, it's going to be the summation of your actions stretched over a longer period of time. So how do we make staying in that game easier for that longer period of time?
Yeah, it's definitely one of those of, it's all or nothing. I'm either total success or a total failure. And I think many of us as guys, we lean towards seeing ourselves in more in that total failure camp. I think we're more likely to self-sabotage, you know, than we are to correct course. So how do guys see that, hey, yes, I am on the self-sabotage train, you know, they're thinking that way, or their actions and behavior, how do they catch themselves to then be able to course correct, to get back into action on the right path that's been set out and gets them towards their goal?
So I think this is where you do have to have a level of auditing, particularly in the beginning. And obviously in my world, that would be around particularly nutrition, obviously exercise, and then low level movement. So a lot of guys don't really, there's a lack of awareness on like what they're actually doing. So it could be a weekly reflection. Obviously in my world, that becomes a weekly check-in sheet to really take inventory of like, what did we actually do? Because oftentimes it's not maybe as cataclysmic as most guys thought. So this could be, again, you know, having your weekly weight average and understanding like, okay, man, so you felt like you ate too much that day. Cool. Well, guess what? You still lost 1.2 pounds this week. Fantastic. Yeah. So I do think auditing and having a level of awareness of tangible numbers is super helpful in the beginning. And then if we do find ourselves consistently in that like sabotage land where we're not actually holding the line, then we shift those guaranteed minimum standard down. And so again, from a workout standpoint, it's like I had a guy recently who, when he started, we started working together, he goes, well, my wife is going to give birth to our baby like any day now. And I go, oh, like when's she due? He's like, no, like could be today. And I go, oh, wow, okay. And I'm like, very cool that you jumped in, because he actually waited a whole year and finally emailed me and goes, I'm sick of my crap. And he was ready to go. And so for a guy like that, it's like, man, and he has two other children. It's like, it's going to be two young kids. He's going to have a third. And it's like, it's going to be so easy. So easy. Like, that's not an excuse. That's like a real tangible bandwidth limitation. So let's scale this way back. Like, does it need to just be one workout per week that we execute on, when I say judge, that we validated on? Now we can always stretch it. We can have a stretch goal, but we don't need to judge the stretch goal. But for him, it was two workouts a week. And so at any time, if you find yourself struggling where you're like, man, I just can't be consistent, pull it back, pull it all the way down until you can prove that you can be consistent. Like literally, and this is James Clear. I'm sure people here listening to this have heard of James Clear. You could pull it all the way to the back that you could be proud of yourself that you put your gym shoes out 3 days a week. Solemn, didn't go to the gym, but you pulled those gym shoes out. Like if that's what it's going to take to get to you to celebrate success, that you're having some momentum, and then you bring it up. The worst thing guys do, I'm telling you, is they try to pull all the levers at once. I'm going to go get 15,000 steps. I'm going to go work out 6 days per week. You're going to burn out. And then on top of it, you've wasted all your leverage that when things do physiologically slow, we don't have any more things to add because you just threw everything at it at once.
What is like something that, you know, when you're meeting with guys and you're, you know, first taking them through like your intake form, right? And you're having that conversation. What is it that guys set up as far as, you know, my family takes all my time, or I don't have any time with work? Like, what are excuses that guys throw up that it should be a different perspective that's maybe motivating us to work on our health instead of being the reason why we don't work on our health?
Sure. Time is a huge one. Again, I think this is a misunderstanding of how much time's actually required to make progress. And of course, understanding that you're just going to have to make progress within the bandwidth that you have. So would it be better if you could dedicate more time to this? Okay, sure. But can we make progress with the bandwidth that you do have? How can we introduce as many catalysts as possible to remove these barriers? And again, I use this one often, but it's like, if every time that you get home, it's instant like dad time and your kids are just boom on you and you're like, oh, I need to get to the basement and do that workout. Cool, man. Let's grab an adjustable bench, some adjustable dumbbells. They're going to fold up and sit in a 2-foot corner of your office and you're going to get a 20-minute workout in before you leave. Mm-hmm. And like, we're going to budget that into the day. How do we get our, we don't have time to get step count up. Cool. How many Zoom call or do you take calls during the day? Oh, great. They're not Zoom. They're headphones in. We're going to jailhouse pace. So we're going to figure out how do we add steps in. This is stuff I do, by the way. Okay. And so again, it is about how do we add in to your lifestyle before we have to really add on. And so many guys, they're going to look at the time piece and just be like, I just don't know where I'm going to do it because I got to work out 7 days per week. It's an hour a day. I'm going to have to prep all my meals. And it's like, it doesn't have to be all that. You're already eating. We're going to make subtly different choices, right? Like that's not an add-in. That's not an add-on. You already eat. We're going to just make subtly different choices. We're going to figure out how to squeeze movement in a way that you don't notice. And then we're going to dumb down the exercise to the minimal effective dose. The value add of doing that from more energy, better sleep, more confidence, looking better, legit health markers being up, longer lifespan is going to be such a value add that the time cost is inconsequential at that point. The other one, and this is a time bandwidth thing, is kids. Kids become, and it's wild to me, and I will say this as somebody who does not have children, and yet the majority of my clients do. It's very interesting that for some, the kids are going to be the reason they can't, and for another, they will be the reason they can. And that is a choice. And I've watched guys, I've had like 4 guys recently. They all have 3 or 4 kids under the age of 12. And it's like, and they're still making it happen. So it becomes the driver. It's like, it becomes, to steal your word, legacy. I had a gentleman who his goal was to end the generational trauma of alcoholism in his family. And his dad, when we wrapped up our coaching program, got diagnosed with terminal liver disease. And which is obviously devastating for him, but is also a gift to his daughters because his daughters will never feel that pain that he felt because that ended with him. And that happened because he had those daughters. So it can be your core driver or it can be the quote barrier/excuse.
So when you look at the guys that are using their children as an excuse versus the ones that are using their children as a motivator, what at its core, like when you look below that basic reason, like what's the difference that's, you know, then funneling up to be like, hey, I can't because of my kids versus I'm going to because of my kids?
I think that the majority of guys who struggle have a deep-seated belief through proving that story correct that they can't be successful in this arena. I haven't worked with somebody who's never tried to fix the situation, right? It's not like I've worked with a guy that's like, yeah, I've never tried to address this. And it's like every guy's tried to work out before, tried some diet, or like, yeah, I tried this, you know? And so they're lacking this kind of fundamental belief that they can be successful in this arena, and partially because they've proved it true. And we usually have to kind of have a conversation around like, well, what did you try? And it's like, yeah, man, like you probably shouldn't have been successful with that path because that was extremely unsustainable. Like me, Mr. Fitness guy, like I would have struggled with that. I probably wouldn't have been able to do that. And when we, you know, like the cabbage soup diet doesn't seem like a long-term thing. And once we have that conversation and we start to kind of pull back the curtain on what this has to look like, and realize like there can be a path where like this doesn't have to be as consumptive as everybody thinks. And again, this kind of comes back to our original conversation. Look at where most guys are looking around for information on this. And it's like the extreme wins out. The least sexy thing to market online is moderation. Like I'm over here trying to sell you a moderate lifestyle change that will make you feel amazing. Like that's not as sexy and trendy as, I mean, we have Liver King with 2 million followers eating, you know, raw liver ball or raw cow balls, right? Like the craziness kind of lands. And so for a lot of guys, it really is just coming back and understanding like, this should be standard. It's normal to be healthy and fit. You will have to do some things differently because the world is set up in a way for you to fail, particularly nutritionally. It's obesogenic for sure in nature. So like you're going to have to get strategic on that, but it's nothing that you have to do is superhuman. Like nothing that is required is superhuman. Until they have that awareness, they will struggle.
So one struggle that I think is pretty common is when guys will make that transition, right? They're going maybe to the public gym instead of working out at home. And you look around and it's like, look at all the Lukes.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
You know, look at all the guys that are lifting more, they're more intense, they're more yep. jacked. How do you help guys to walk through? Yeah, there's truth to it, but that's not your reality. And neither is that like your end of the journey. Right? Mm-hmm. You are where you are, but this is not final.
Yeah.
How do you help them to show up for themselves to continue making progress in sight of everybody else's success, you know, when you do to go to the public place like that?
Sure. And I mean, hey, I'm a fitness guy, but it's like I can walk in any gym and find the guy bigger, stronger, faster, better, right? Like this is life. And so I think this really does come down to just recognizing like it's a competition of one versus one, you versus old you. And I love this idea, this idea of comparison is the thief of joy. And to me, it's like comparison can be the window of motivation, right? Or inspiration of what's possible. And so, you know, I just encourage guys like, there are genetic freaks out there, right? Most professional athletes probably, but like, there's going to be some guy who it's like, man, he could have been in worse shape than you when he started. And it's like, be inspired by that. Like, look how far that guy came. That's awesome. I think there's a maturity that comes with that, right? I think as you get older, there's, you know, we still want to be competitive, of course, but, I think it comes down to just kind of a mindset of, you know, I'm celebrating everybody's success, man. I want everybody to win. Them winning doesn't mean I'm not. And so I'm the believer of like all tides rise, raise all ships. And it's like, be inspired by that. When you see a dude, you know, putting up crazy numbers at the gym, like get pumped by that. Right. Like, and that's a choice. That's just an outlook on life that I think will do you wonders in everywhere you go, regardless of the situation.
With getting healthy, we want to stay healthy, but I don't think we're always looking at things long-term, right? It's just that short-term, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to get to 185 pounds, right?
Sure.
How do you help men to see what's beyond, you know, just, you know, a year, a few months, whatever it is, reaching that goal, but to instead say, hey, this is the vibrant and alive life that's available to you afterwards. How do you help them to see the vision beyond just the goal that they're shooting for now in the short term?
Mike, that's such a great question, because the one thing I've always said about this space is you can't test drive results, right? Like you can't sample it, right? Like if you want to buy a new TV, you can go see how beautiful it looks and think like, man, my movie is going to be so fun to watch. So I hate to say it, it starts from a place of pain. Like guys got to be kind of to the point where like they're sick of their position that they're in and they're ready to do something. Again, we can try to like stoke that fire a little bit. And you know, I do ask guys the question, it's like, where does this go 3 years from now if you don't positively move things forward? And we do play that out a little bit. Again, call that a motivator if you want. Call it a sales question if you want. And like, I'll tell them, I'm like, I want you to like sell yourself on the idea of doing this, whether it's with me or without me or somebody else on your own. Like, and where will this go if you don't get into action? Because it doesn't stay static for most.
When you've got the guys that they're reaching their goals, Luke, how do you see the rest of their life impacted, right? As far as their family, mm-hmm. their friends, their work, how do you see it show up in changes in those areas and how they show up for those areas?
So this is probably the thing that lights me up is I don't really care if like, I don't really care how you look, right? Like I'm not a bodybuilder coach, right? Like if you get a six pack, great. Like I'm excited if it means something to you. And I've had guys where like, they are really like excited about the physical changes. And that is fun to hear about, but what's way more exciting. And like, honestly, every guy kind of experiences it. It's how good they feel and listening to somebody kind of describe and try to like, they're trying to almost describe this like low grade fever of euphoria and well-being that they have an experience. And it's around energy. It's around their confidence and just, and it's like, they can't quite put their fingers on it. And that lights me up because it does, it impacts every aspect of your life. How you show up in your career, how you show up in your relationships, how you father, when you have more energy, when you have more patience and you're not stressed as much. I got an amazing, I'll call it a message from a client where he's like, his wife told him it was the best recovery that she had of all their kids because he like took ownership of the family nutrition. And it's like, dude, it's impacting your wife's like pregnancy. Like that's super cool. So while there is no test drive of results, the one thing is probably within a month, maybe even faster. I've had guys within 2 weeks, you're going to get some positive feedback that the stuff is worth doing if it's approached correctly. Again, if it's approaching this beat you down, miserable experience, but like you're going to get euphoric, you're going to get endorphins, you're going to feel better. And all of a sudden you become that annoying person who's like posting that you'd worked out and you're posting your recipes on Facebook and you're obnoxious and you're telling everybody about it. And it's because you feel really, really good. And that's probably what excites me the most. And again, I think it impacts everything. But usually it's the relationships and like seeing guys talk about showing up with like playing with their kids and like throwing the ball around. That's pretty cool.
I think one of the things I know that I see from coaching guys, and I'm sure you do as well, it's like, regardless of what childhood you've had, and if people have broken their promises to you, it may be the first time that you're experiencing somebody keeping their promises, and it's you keeping your promises to yourself. Like, dude, that is so, so powerful.
Yep.
That it's like, I don't think that we really realize how impactful and motivating that can be when it's like, I showed up for me. I kept my promises that you show up, dude, as you show up like the jack guy at the gym for yourself, just in other areas that it's like, you're not expecting that. Is that something that you see?
100%. Well? That's the confidence, truthfully. Again, that's the confidence more so than like, okay, great. Like you look good in the mirror and that, like, don't get me wrong. That means something, right? Like if you're a guy and you lose 50 pounds, you're going to look in the mirror and be like, yeah, this is nice. But it is the confidence that comes from that congruency. And I talk about this a lot with clients. And this is where, again, the reason we execute on this goes deeper than just that confidence. This is really where the long-term success is going to come when we, talk about this idea of guaranteed minimum standards. The reason we do that is we are trying to build that confidence that we are the guy that does what he says he was going to do. So when the chaos of life rears its head because your kid gets sick, you had the work trip, you're still going to own those habits because you've proved it time and time again. And I always use the analogy of, you know, if you meet a guy, if you make an acquaintance at a networking event and they invite you for lunch and you go to lunch and they stand you up and you're like, okay, well, I'll give them a pass. And then they do it again. And it's like, this guy is not reliable. And unfortunately, that's the story many guys have built up for themselves around health and fitness, around weight loss, around nutrition. And so we need to flip that on its head, prove that you can do what you said you were going to do. And we make that happen through guaranteed minimum standards, not by stepping into some 30-day challenge.
Surprisingly, it will change what you put up with. And so your circle of friends and people you're with changes right along with it. And it's not something that you're like going, I'm going to go work out so that I put up with, you know, less garbage from the people around me.
Sure.
But as your standard for yourself changes, it's going to carry on out there. And so super impactful. And I love how that just those unexpected bonuses show up when you just thought you were tackling this problem over here and you get this present over here that it's like, that's a great gift to yourself.
I will say, I probably do have more and more guys with the age that I tend to work with. And again, having families and careers that they are talking, like I've had multiple people, which is really cool. Be like, hey, I'm looking for like, I'm trying to make a legit lifestyle change. And I'm like, oh, that's the magic words I need to hear. But you know, most guys do show up. It's like, man, you know, like I don't like what I'm seeing in the mirror. The pants aren't fitting. They've added some weight. But I can promise you that what keeps almost every guy going long term is how he feels. It's the internal side of, again, just feeling really good, having more energy, just this vibrant feeling that if they were the last person on earth and there's no one to impress, they're still going to do the stuff because they get the positivity of how they feel.
Yeah. Dude, Luke, I love it. It's not just, you know, hey, I'm going to start seeing biceps, less of the belly, you know, have more energy, but there are so many more rewards to it. And I appreciate you helping us to see how we can shore it up to, you know, not necessarily guarantee our success, but like we talked about, putting bumpers on there so that we stay on the path.
Yep.
And dude, you've provided so many, you know, things that are encouraging and something that can seem so daunting because we're looking at Instagram and seeing the photoshopped or the light enhanced images, you know, and we just believe that that's who we got to be. I'm not there.
Yeah.
Why start? You've given a way to take that first step and a reason to, you know, take that first step, not just for ourselves, but for the changes that will occur all around us. Dude, I so appreciate it. And you know, how do guys, if they're like, I'm at that point, Luke, you know, I have all the reasons I want to make that change. How do they get in touch with you to take that first step?
Sure. So obviously if somebody's looking for, you know, real one-on-one support, they can reach out to me at fitmenproject.com. You can also go to Fitmen Project. There's a opt-in there where I literally lay out kind of the lean body method program, over 4 days of emails that kind of just breaks it all down. It's like, go execute it if you want. Obviously, you know, having some accountability, having somebody to guide you, help you make the adjustments along the way can be super important. But I've kind of laid it all out there for, you know, how to audit your nutrition. What should the workouts actually look like? How do we strategically increase step count? So I do have a 4-day little mini email course that will be super supportive to any guys that are looking for more of the tangible stuff that we kind of obviously didn't dive all the way into today.
Yeah. Dude, Luke, I appreciate the encouragement, the inspiration, and breaking through the myths that are out there to, you know, now set us on this path. So thank you so much, my friend.
Mike, it's been great chatting with you. Love what you're up to, and I love the impact you're making, man.
Ah, thank you, my friend. I appreciate it. Thanks so much, my friend, for joining me on another episode. If you found the information within the show helpful, please leave a review on the platform you're listening to. It helps raise the show's visibility so other men can join us in breaking free. See you on the next episode, and remember to continue putting yourself out there. Have a great one.